It is my desire as your pastor that this message would not seem awkward to you to listen to, and that as you're gathered with your family in your home, that you will be able to worship, that you will be able to worship God as a family, as the one who is present with you, even though you can't look around and see the rest of our congregation. These are strange times. Strange times for us as a church, strange times for Prattville as a community, strange times for the state of Alabama and for our country, and indeed for the world. We are looking at a disease that has affected the entire world. And that's a very difficult and overwhelming thing for us to think about. So as I considered what it was that I could preach on, lots of things came to mind. Lots of things having to do with suffering, things that had to do with feelings of loneliness or seclusion. And I'm sure all of us to some degree are feeling that. But I received an email from one of our elders, and in the email he included a prayer and a prayer list from one of our Sunday school classes that one of the women in our church, Ellen Royal, had sent out. And in it she used Psalm 121, which I really felt led to speak to you on this morning. I have preached on Psalm 121, and I went back and reviewed some of my notes on that. I'm going to be altering it to some degree. But there, if you've heard it before, I trust that you will see, and the Lord will use His Word in your life during this time, even though you may have heard it before. Psalm 121 reads as follows. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I want to remind you of something you may already be aware of, and that is the context. This psalm is under the context or the caption, a song of ascents, and that is spelled A-S-C-E-N-T-S, to go up, ascent. They are also variously called gradual psalms, songs of degrees, songs of steps, or pilgrim's songs. There are various scholarly views of the use of these psalms based upon this caption. One view is that as the Jewish people made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem and to worship at the temple, that they were literally going up or ascending geographically. Another is that this was indicative of a song of the Levites as they ascended the steps of the temple. And yet another, that these were psalms composed to commemorate the dedication of Solomon's temple. But all have the idea of preparing to go up and worship the Lord their God. So keep that in mind as we talk about this particular psalm. About 25 years ago, I was talking to a group of teenagers. One of them asked me the big question of that day. He said, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" Well, as you know, that was definitely the question of that day, thanks to a very popular book. And I answered, being a lot less wise, or maybe just a little bit less wise, and a little bit less experienced, I answered it from a theological standpoint. My theological standpoint was to say, there aren't any good people. And that's true. I mean, theologically, that's an accurate statement. We know that. We know that there are none good, no one who does good. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's not answering the underlying question to the question. The underlying question to the question was not particularly theological coming from this young man. The answer that I gave avoided his question. The question was, why are bad things happening to people who don't appear to be doing anything that deserves these bad things? About, I guess, probably 15 years ago, I had the first experience of ministering to a family that had a family member dying from ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. As I understand it, Lou Gehrig's disease has an average survival rate of 3 years. 20% of people survive for 5 years, 10%, 10 years. My dear friend's husband died only 8 months after his diagnosis. Now, this having occurred in 2005, it was an experience. I didn't know this family, really. I didn't know them at all. As a matter of fact, this was the first time I had met them. And when I walked in and met this in particular woman, she wasn't particularly asking any questions about why did this happen. But the family asked that question over the next several months in a number of different ways. They elaborated on how good a man this individual was. And he was. By all accounts, he was a very fine man. They were asking things about, you know, I don't understand why he has to suffer like this. But they weren't particularly saying, why do good things? Why is this bad thing happening to this good father, this good husband? They were asking it, but they weren't asking it particularly. And I answered in the term over several months this question by pointing this family to the Word of God. And that is, I pointed to God's character. I pointed to God's character in the term of his power and in terms of his love. That this wasn't something that hit this family member because God wasn't paying attention. This isn't something that came at him out of the blue, so to speak. It wasn't that God was saying, I don't know, I just looked up and suddenly he had Lou Gehrig's disease. No, not at all. We know that theologically. We know that's the truth. But often we act as if God is not attentive to us. We act as if God is not aware of things going on. Part of that has to do with the fact that we have been blessed so well and so much that when things like the coronavirus hit the country and bring everything to a screeching halt. It is out of nowhere, seemingly. So we have to ask the question, why is this here and now? We know that part of the answer is we live in a fallen world. Frankly, it's amazing that more of these situations don't come on us as a world. But we also know that even this virus is a part of God's plan. It is a part of His control. He has this under His control. He doesn't blink. He does not stop, doesn't look at us and say, look, I'm juggling a lot of things right now. Do you think you could cut me a little slack when one or two of these things drop and I can't keep my hands on all of it? God doesn't blink. God does not stop and say, oops, I missed one, and this was a big one. No, as we spoke about in our video earlier this week, or last week, in Isaiah 40, God says this to His people. He says, look up into the heavens. Look at all the stars. See them? Count them if you can. And we can't. But He says, each one of them, I know each of their names. Not one of them is missing. And we are looking at God and saying, did you miss this? What's your idea of this for us? Why can't we meet to worship you? That's not a bad thing. Why can't we come together and worship you as a congregation? For whatever reason, the Lord has given this to us, and He's not a distant God. Psalm 121, I prefer to think of it as pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, across areas that are dangerous, across areas where they are surrounded by perhaps robbers, murderers, bandits, wild animal predators, where people's feet do slip, where loose rocks, dirt, and sand, etc., where they do stumble. Can you imagine making that pilgrimage with your family, with your whole family, extended family, where you have your grandmother? Perhaps your grandmother even now uses a walker or a cane and can't get around very well, and you fear for her. You want your loved one to be safe. You don't want their foot to slip, because their foot slipping could be quite disastrous when you're talking about that terrain particularly. You put someone up to keep watch at night, and even they fall asleep. No. I think this is the context for Psalm 121. As the pilgrims traveled somewhat tenuously, knowing these dangers that surrounded them, they would keep looking up to see if they yet had a view of Mount Zion and the glimmering temple of the Lord, climbing a hillside with others trailing behind, sometimes dislodging those rocks and gravel, hopefully that some of the stragglers would be able to dodge as they were climbing, where they were slipping and scraping knees and cutting hands, thinking, when will we see the temple of the Lord? When will we get there? And you look out over the hills, keeping on wondering, okay, when are we going to actually see the temple? When are we going to see Jerusalem? Looking up, as the psalmist writes in verse 1, he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? And as the psalmist sees the hills that are surrounding him, he realizes that the one who made the hills is the one who keeps him. The one who made heaven and earth. The one who placed it all in its correct order. The one who grew the trees, spoke, and they existed. The one who made those hills is the one who can keep the psalmist. In John chapter 6, Jesus makes a proclamation. He says to his disciples, he says that if they don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, that they don't have anything to do with him, that they don't have life. However, he says, if you do eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life, and you will be raised up on the last day. In other words, he'll keep them. He's the one who will keep them according to his sacrifice for them. He is the God of control. He is the God of love. He is the God who is provided. The psalmist goes on after acknowledging that his help comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth, pointing to God's power. He says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. I want to point out, as we often do in some of the epistles, as the apostles are writing, they're writing to the church, and when they use the word you, it is really more of a statement of y'all. It's plural, you, you all. That's not what this is. In Psalm 121, the psalmist is writing, and it's almost as if he is speaking to himself. He says, he will not let your, singular, your foot be moved. He who keeps you, singular, will not slumber. Your foot may slip, but it will not be out of God's power. And the one who keeps you, individual, will not fall asleep. You place a guard up. You place a watch over your caravan or your family at night. And you sometimes get sleepy. You might doze off and danger could come on you. But the one who keeps you, even you, the one who is the watchman over your family, the guard, the watch at night, he's not going to fall asleep. As you doze off, he's wide awake. Indeed, the one in verse 4 who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And then verse 5. The Lord is your singular keeper. The Lord is your singular shade on your singular right hand. He's the one who shelters you from the heat, from the burning sun. He's the one who holds you in the palm of his hand. As we've talked about Numbers chapter 6 in this great Aaronic blessing that God gives, this benediction to Aaron to give to the people of God. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. He keeps you. He holds you. You keep things that are of value. You keep them. Maybe some of you have safes in your home, and you keep things in there that you want to keep protected from other people. You want to keep them safe. You want to know exactly where they are. You protect them. You don't allow anyone to get to them. This is stronger. God, the most powerful God Almighty, keeps you. He holds you. There's nothing that can touch you. He's your shade at your right hand. He's the one who shelters you from the sun. Verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Amazing. The Lord will keep you, singular, from all evil. He will keep your, singular, soul. Some of your versions may Read, he will keep your life. Indeed, that's true. But that this word that is used here is actually the word for soul. He will keep your soul. Your soul won't slip from his hands, which points us to this marvelous, wonderful promise of Almighty God that he speaks to us saying, I've got you. Even though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you have no reason to fear evil. Folks, I know, with this whole virus and everything that's come on us, we've been forced to stop. And some of us are pondering even now, and perhaps some of that is good, pondering our lives, pondering whether or not this virus will hurt us, pondering whether or not this thing that has come on this world that we live in is something that will actually take our lives. Let me assure you, Christian, let me assure you that this virus under the hand of your loving Father has no power that he does not give it. This virus has no power except to do the bidding of the one who loves you intensely, the one who is focused on you singular intently. He knows your name. He knows where you are. He knows exactly what you're experiencing. Some of us may be experiencing financial difficulty in this. As you've seen, the stock market has gone back to what it was before President Trump took office. It took 3 years, almost four, to get where it was a month ago. And in that last month, it has gone back down to what it took 3 years to get to. Amazing. Amazing. Your confidence, my confidence, our confidence is not in the stock market. Our confidence is not in a cure for this virus. We want it. We want blessing. We want there to be success in our community. We want there to be peace in our land. We want there to be a lifting of this affliction. But that is not our call. That is the call of the one who not only has the power to change and prevent and to bring about effective cure, he is the one who loves you, and he keeps you. Even though the earth gives way, the mountains fall upon us, the seas rise up to overwhelm us, he is still God, and he keeps your soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is the promise. He will take us through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadows can't hurt you. For the Christian, we have the confidence of knowing that the God who sees is the God who keeps. And the God who keeps has the power to keep forever. And as he promises through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we who eat his flesh and drink his blood, that he will keep us. He will raise us up on the last day. There's a hymn that many of you know. I'm not going to sing it, especially on a recording where it can be replayed. Called Pilgrims in This Barren Land. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Listen to this. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain. Once the healing stream doth flow, let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield when I tread the verge of Jordan. Bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. We know. We do know what it is like to live weary lives in a barren land. That is what our existence is in this world. We know what it's like to be stumbling and falling on the sand and pebbles of this land. We know what it's like to have the scrapes and cuts, wondering what is going to happen when the bandits of this life attack and terrorize us. Those bandits being viruses and financial ruin. Mothers know what it is to wonder every single day and worry about whether your children will survive and excel, whether you will survive to care for them. You wonder and worry if God really does keep them, because you wonder and you worry if He really keeps you. Let me tell you from the truth of God's word, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, children and grandchildren, He does. He keeps you. According to His word, He keeps you. He will keep your soul. And the great encouragement is, He wants you to know that. He wants you to know it, because He has preserved it for you in His word. Listen to the last verse of Psalm 121. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You wonder if you can get to the grocery store. You wonder if you can find something for your family where the shelves may be empty. Folks, the Lord keeps your going out and your coming in. He will keep our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He is the one who knows exactly what we need. He is the one who knows His full intention for us. And His full intention is to bring us safely home to Him, whether that be in 1 week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. He alone knows, and He will bring to pass all of His good and perfect will in caring for His children. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You that we have the joy of resting in You, of knowing that Your hand is upon us. I pray for each and every one of our households of this church. I pray that You would watch over and keep them, that You will be the God whose hand steadies them in their tottering, holds them and calms their fears, blesses them with good things, even in these days, that even though most certainly our enemy intends this for evil, but that You, our God, our Heavenly Father, have this in store for us for our good, even though we may not be able to see it. We pray that as we experience it, that we would know that Your hand is gentle and Your grasp is firm. that you don't drop any of the things that you are juggling. In fact, there is nothing that you juggle because your hand is firmly on each and every one of us. So we pray that our comfort would be in the blessedness of our salvation and the joy of the unity of this body. I pray, as the pastor of those who will be hearing this, I pray that you would bless them and that you would hasten the day when we would come back together to worship you here in this church with the rest of your people, our brothers and sisters, so that we can sing with great joy that you are the God who guides, O you who are a great Jehovah, even through this barren land. And I pray that you would give us a longing for that worship. And Father, if you choose to take any of us or all of us home before we are able to gather back here, I pray that that day would come quickly so that we would be surrounding your throne of grace and we would know what it is to truly worship you with all who have gone before us. So cause us to stand. Cause us not to fret. Cause us to rest in your perfect will. Because your perfect will is aimed in perfect love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So now, children of the living God, would you look up figuratively into heaven, but look up and receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.